Well, we have a big feast. We have three readings. We have a Gloria. We might even have a creed. All of that squishes out the time for the homily. Well, that's the way it goes. The first reading is a wonderful reading, and it catches a glimpse already of who Jesus is. This is the vision of Daniel 7, chapter 7. The Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head was white as wool. This Jesus, here it's the Father. The opening lines of the book of the Apocalypse are the same. And so there was fire coming. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him. Myriads upon myriads attended him. And the visions during the night continued. I saw one like a son of man. Now who is this? See, son of man means quintessential man, quintessential human being. It's like Iraq, Saddam Hussein, said this is the mother of all battles. See, they speak that way. So son of man means the quintessential man. This is the title our Lord applies to himself. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, right? He's the Son of Man. He's quintessential man. He is the fruit of all humanity. But he's also this man. You see? And so, coming on the clouds of heaven, and when he reached the Ancient One, was presented before him, the one like a Son of Man, you notice how Daniel repeats that, received dominion, glory, and thanks and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Now, in the Jewish tradition, the Son of Man, quintessential man, is the summation of God's people. And that's true. But God's people are summed up in Jesus. And so he took them up on this mountain and he let part of who he really is shine forth. Why? So that their faith would not be totally shaken when they saw him on the cross. The one they saw on the cross is the one they saw so radiant they couldn't look on him, talking with Moses and Elijah, the Law and the Prophets. He sums them up. He is the Law and the Prophets. And so, the second letter of Peter, I'm running, as you know, I have to. We have this text. This is saying, this was no bright idea of our own. We know who he is. We saw him, you see. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. That happened at the baptism. It happened at the transfiguration. And in its fullness, it happened at the resurrection. You are my Son, this day I have begotten you, is the leitmotif that from Psalm 2, that's the theme song of the resurrection. Because to beget, in this case, means to make king. You are my son. You are the king now. And so Jesus is king. And he's made the king at his resurrection. Paul says this. It's in Acts, 13, when Paul is giving a speech. It says, and the Father raised him from the dead, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my Son, this day I have begotten you. It was at the resurrection that Jesus entered into the fullness of his sonship. Where he is now, as Son of Man, our Son, our summation, our resurrection, all promised to us. And so we have the text itself. You know, three booths, like the Feast of Sukkot. And there's Moses, HaTorah. And there's Elijah, HaNevi'im, the Law and the Prophets. And they're there, and they blend into Jesus. As Origen says, they looked up, and there was only Jesus. This translation has Jesus alone with them. What happened to the Law and the Prophets? They're summed up into Jesus. And now they're radiant, radiant. So this is a glorious day. It's supposed to strengthen our faith too. Who is our Jesus? He is so radiant and so beautiful that the angels can gaze on him for eternity and never get tired. And that's what's going to happen to us. That's the promise.